Good morning.
Morning.
It's time to get up, guys. Up and at 'em.
If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed.
Come on, guys.
Burning daylight.
Early worm gets the worm.
I like waking up when no one's around.
I seriously wish breakfast went all day.
What for breakfast?
Cam and Zanes.
Hey, Cam, how you doing?
Oh, great, Zanes. I love being here.
That sounded slightly sarcastic, but I know it's not because you're in the studio with me. We've got a jam-packed show today, hey?
Oh, so much going on. If you didn't hear, Dana and I are going on a road trip!
Yep, and we are building our Spotify playlist so that we can get that playlist cracking.
Oh, yeah.
We are also nurturing our new babies.
Yes, we found some Tamagotchis. I didn't think we'd be able to find them.
No,
I thought they were extinct.
Yeah, but no, we found these dinosaur eggs, and Chris, our producer, has given them to us in an effort to help us nurture them to hopefully keep them alive.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that shortly.
It's coming up. Cam and Danes.
The Catch-Up.
On next.
Big news overnight. Pill testing recommendations have come into play. There is, the coroner is calling for pill testing at festivals to actually occur. So this is huge in relation to the New South Wales government.
This is good for people who are advocates for pill testing, because now there's someone with some credibility who's come out and really gives a good argument to the people who are against pill testing.
Yeah, and Mark Morrie, who's the editor of the Daily Telegraph, wrote an exclusive on the front page today saying this.
Drug users would be free to test pills at music festivals, and police body searches and sniffer dogs would be scrapped under controversial draft recommendations by the New South Wales coroner.
So it is controversial because it goes in direct opponents with the New South Wales government, because they are saying, nah, not happening.
I'm so confused as to why people are against pill testing. Obviously, there's the argument that drugs are bad and that, like, they cause violence and they cause health issues and things like that. But it's like the people who are against pill testing think that if they just say, no, we're not putting in pill testing,
then
the people
no one
are
going to
stop
it.
Doing
yeah.
drugs. Like, it's just... You can't change that behavior because it's been happening for years. It's just, it's all about making the behavior that's not going to change safer for people to do.
And it is really sad because these draft recommendations have come out after, you know, the deaths of 6 Australians.
Mm.
And if it can save even one life, wouldn't it then be worth it just to consider these recommendations, especially by an authority?
Yeah, well, so many things get tried. Like, I was at the FOMO festival at the beginning of this year, where there was a young lady who died from a drug overdose. And all throughout the day, so at the FOMO festival, they have all the acts playing on one stage. And in between each act, there'd be probably 5 to 10 minutes of an MC on the stage with a big sign saying, our lineup's so good that you don't need to do drugs to have fun. And the whole 5 to 10 minute speech was about, you don't need to do drugs here. Like, let's all just have a drink
have
if
a
you
good
want
time.
To. Let's have a good time. But yet, that was one of the most talked about festivals of the beginning of the year because there was a drug overdose death. So why isn't it worth trying something different?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what the New South Wales government has to say about it. But we want to know what you think. Hit us up on Afters Radio on Instagram. Check out our poll there. We want to know, yay or nay, what do you think about pill testing? Cam and Danes. The catch up.
The catch up.
The catch up.
Not catch up.
Not
catch up. Danes, let's just settle something right here.
Yeah.
Something you probably don't know about me. I hate reality TV.
Oh, we know this. We've touched on this every day for the past 8 months.
You might have picked up on it.
Yeah.
There's so many different shows that don't entertain me.
Don't satisfy you.
No,
leave you wanting more.
They're not close to reality. That's why I hate how it's named. And they're not even interesting anyway. But I found...
Not close to your reality, excuse you.
the only reality they're close to are the people on the show.
The life of an influencer.
But I found something
yeah.
that has actually made me laugh and has caught my interest.
Really? On reality
yes,
TV?
There's a reality TV show in Turkey. It's like a hairdressing reality TV show.
Yeah? And different? Never heard of that before?
Yes. And a model named Aleda, who was on the show.
Yeah.
She's fainted and cried. Well, probably the other way around. Cried and then fainted after having 30 centimeters of her hair chopped off accidentally.
That would be awful.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it. But, like, even still, is that the reality of many girls
okay,
who have long
hair? Okay, let's just think about this. That is a long time of cultivation. Like,
yeah.
if you're thinking about this as a crop, That's a long time. That is years of growing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Hair care. Can you picture the amount of hours that you've put into that crop on top of your head?
Well, if I walked up behind you, Danes, your hair's probably, what, 20 centimetres long?
I don't know. I can't tell.
A little bit longer? If I walked up behind you with a pair of secateurs and just gave it one big snip, would you cry and faint?
I probably wouldn't faint because I don't know how to do that on cue, but you would not see the light of day.
Can you cry on cue?
Yes. With a theatre background, I would hope so.
maybe I'll put this to the test. Maybe I'll see if this reality TV
don't
show...
Don't you dare come near me with some scissors today.
Maybe I'll see if it's close to reality by chopping off your hair and seeing if you faint. And if you faint, I'll have faith in reality TV restored.
You come near me with a pair of scissors, with a pair of secateurs. Nah, not happening.
Kevin Danes.
The Catch-Up.
On Next.
News.
Good morning, you're with Natal. Queen Elizabeth II has reiterated Britain's commitment to Brexit deadline in October 31st. So she has basically given a public speech at the Westminster Parliament and with all the members of the ministers and the Conservative leaders.
Good on her. What a woman, right?
So she's backing Brexit?
Yes, she is confirming that Britain will be exiting away from the European Union.
Yeah.
And she has, you know, mentioned a lot of bills, over 20 bills that were introduced, things that include immigration system policy, criminal justice reform, healthcare changes in stimulating growth. So she has been the speech has been written by the government.
Yeah.
And she mentioned all of those things.
Yeah. Do you know how I see Britain at the moment?
Hit me.
So the two sides of politics are like two younger brothers squabbling over who gets the front seat, and the Queen is like the mum coming in and going, putting the foot down and going, no.
This Brexit, is how it is.
You're sitting in the front.
Yeah.
European
Brexit
Union
is in the forefront.
In the back.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is with the opposition party, the Labour Party in Europe, saying Mr. Johnson is using a neutral queen to sort of, impose his, changes, the things that he wants to bring to power, because Mr. Johnson is running a very minority government in England right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then is there a bit of mummy manipulation going on? Because when Johnson suspended Parliament, he had to get permission from the Queen, and she was like, all right.
Yeah.
She gave permission.
Well, Brexit's the favourite child, isn't it?
At this point. And we'll see when it comes to the
end
of the month.
Mr. Johnson got into the position of Prime Minister, he hasn't won a single vote in the Parliament. Because he went through a lot of opposition. It's very hard for him, especially being on a minority, leading a minority government.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin Danes.
This is the Catch-Up. No Catch-Up on
no
Next.
No Catch-Up allowed on Next.
Dana and I have come up with a massive, massive idea, Dana.
We're going to Barney Doon.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to Bonnie Doon.
Well, we're not going to Bonnie Doon. Yeah. But considering we are a new radio show, we thought what better way to get it to know each other than throw two people in a car who potentially could annoy each other on a road trip.
Well, yeah, we know each other enough here. Why not get in a car and do it? It's the best way to get to know each other because there's so many things that you have to reveal about yourself on a road trip, like what you taste in music.
Yeah, big one.
Yeah.
Like this could be make or break.
What snacks you like. How often you need to go to the bathroom, which for me is a lot.
What we're going to talk about. I mean, it could be a... could be a highway to hell, like, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I prefer the thought of going to Bondi Doon as opposed to hell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, I might be in hell. You might be going to Bondi Doon.
Yeah, but it's seriously the best way to get to know each other. So we want to know. Give us a call. 980-566-7. Do you have any suggestions for Dana and I as to where we should go on this road trip? What songs we should be listening to? What's your favourite
We've
road
got to
trip
build
song?
A road trip playlist because that could be make or break.
Yeah.
If your music taste is rubbish, I'm out.
Yeah. I think everyone who has a road trip playlist thinks they have the ultimate road trip playlist.
Yeah.
Because if you put in the effort, you think yours is the best.
Did you have a playlist? I know that you went caravanning as a kid.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a playlist?
Oh, it was like Alan Jackson and Garth Brooks. It's terrible.
Because we, as kids, my family, we took 3 months out of school and we went around Australia in a caravan with my parents.
Yeah.
And every morning we'd have, we called it the morning song. And this is what it was.
On the road again.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Of course, you have that, like, that family that's keen to get up early in the morning.
A little bit of hillbilly-ness.
Too keen to get up early in the morning. I was the kid who sat in the corner of the car listening in my headphones to, like, Eminem or something.
Oh, so you're the cool kid.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you're going to be the cool kid on our road trip?
Probably, yeah. I think I am.
Alicia from St. Mary's, what is your go-to road trip track?
Oh, my God. Hey, guys. My favourite road trip track is probably Untouched by the Veronicas.
Oh,
good one.
Yes. The violins straight from the start just sends shivers down my spine, Alicia. What makes that a great road trip song for you?
I think it's, like, the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, you can, if you're on a really long road trip, you can really belt it out, so it kind of keeps you awake as well, because you're, like,
true,
so passionately into it.
Yeah, that's another thing you need to consider in road trips. Like, how does the passenger, are they good company to keep the driver awake?
I hate passengers who sleep.
If you're driving, rude, really.
Yeah, you have to keep the driver entertained and awake.
Uh-huh.
And
it's essential, or you can't come on the road trip, really.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a go-to road trip snack?
Oh, I always like stopping off at the servo and just getting a, you know, pie or sausage roll.
Yeah.
I don't mind some Pringles from the servo.
Pringles?
Yeah.
An iced coffee.
It's just the worst junk food because it's okay because you don't really have any other options.
Yeah, so I mean, nobody gets into a road trip with, like, blueberries and a mandarin, let's be real.
No.
Okay, I won't bring my blueberries then.
People have been letting us know on afters.radio on Instagram to let us know their favourite road trip tracks.
We've got one response saying Pub Feed by The Chats.
Oh, good one.
The Horses, Daryl Braithwaite.
Yeah, classic.
Always a good one.
Always a good one at music festivals around Australia.
Yes, Land Down Under. There's a lot of classic Aussie tracks here. So the theme is Australian music because we had the Veronicas from Alicia. We've got
true.
The Chats, which is a young, up-and-coming Aussie band. Well, they're pretty established now. Daryl Braithwaite and Land Down Under. Who sings Men at Work? But they're not Australian, are they? Yeah, but they're not Australian, but they sing the song about Australia. So maybe we need to have an Australian-themed road trip playlist.
All right, well, we're building it. We want you to go to aftersaftrs.radio to let us know your playlist tracks because we'll be building it from the ground up with your help. And we'll see whether this road trip will be make or break for Cam and I.
Cam and Danes.
The Catch-Up.
On Next.
A giant boa constrictor measuring at about 2.5 metres long is on the loose.
On the loose.
Yes. There was a construction site in Western Sydney where they spotted the shed skin of the 2.5 metre long python.
Hanging off some, like, bits of wood. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's like a big draping. A big drape.
And a warning's been issued. If you do see the snake, move to Europe.
Or New Zealand. They don't have any snakes.
Oh, they don't either.
Yeah.
Neither does Ireland, right?
Well, no.
Because St. Patrick hunted them
You've
all
got
out.
So many options.
Yeah.
Where you could move to. Also, Halsey has just been announced, like Natal said, in the news as she will be performing at the Arias, which is hugely exciting.
Oh, I'll be tuning in. I might even see if I can get a ticket.
Go see Halsey. Yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Can you get a plus one?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fine. All right.
But
we'll stay here and man the court.
Cam and Danes.
The Catch Up.
The Catch Up.
The Catch Up.
Not catch up.
Not
catch up. Yes, Danes. Yesterday we spoke about Tamagotchis. A story came out about a lady who'd tried to keep alive a Tamagotchi as an adult.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but it died within 24 hours.
That's classic adulthood, isn't it? Can't do things that kids can do.
I know. Like, I just brought back so many memories of having my Tamagotchi and also killing my Tamagotchi. Like, I died.
Were you good at it or not?
I was good at it when I remembered to take it out of my pocket before I dived into the pool.
All right, Cam. So I put you to the test. Let's see if we can keep some Tamagotchis alive.
Yeah, so this morning our producer Chris came in with a pleasant surprise. He'd gone to Big W and found that you can still buy Tamagotchis. They still sell them. And it's annoying me already.
And yours is hatched.
Yeah, mine's hatched and it's already doing poos. I don't know what it wants at the moment. I think it wants attention, but I don't know how to give it attention. without, like, I'm just looking at it. Is that all it needs?
Do you need to, like, I think you need to whisper sweet nothings.
Sweet nothings.
Right.
Yes. So Dana and I have decided that we're going to go up against each other to see who can keep alive a Tamagotchi for the longest.
Do you think that you can, like, genuinely, do you think you can actually do this? Because, like, have you ever looked after a dog or anything that's not yourself?
Yeah, of course. Look after my girlfriend.
I'm a little bit concerned because I'm not very good at video games because I find them quite frustrating because I'm quite competitive but not very good at them.
Yeah, it's quite refreshing though because the Tamagotchi even has a clock on it.
Oh, so then you might actually be on time to work this time.
I know, so I don't need to take my phone anywhere now.
You don't have any excuses.
Although I'm already starting to get annoyed by it.
What do the different beeps mean?
Well, there's little symbols on the screen that tell you what it needs. And as far as I know, this one means that it needs attention. So that's telling me I need to check the health icon.
But I think we need your help because we need some stakes. Whoever after the 2 weeks does not keep their Tamagotchi alive or whoever's Tamagotchi dies first, what does the other person have to do? Head to our Instagram, afters.radio.
Yeah, go check it out. Dana and I will be posing with our new Instagram, our new Tamagotchis on Instagram.
Cam and Danes.
This is the catch-up. No catch-up on
no
Next.
No catch-up allowed on Next. Tones and I. She's an Aussie artist that absolutely hit it big time.
She's an Aussie superstar.
She absolutely is. Her name is Toni Watson. She is from the Mornington Peninsula down in Melbourne, near where I'm from. And I can really relate to her story. She has an amazing story because she was working in retail, didn't like that, started busking.
Yeah.
And really headed up to Byron Bay on a trip and decided that she wanted to start busking in Byron. So I'm going to set the scene for you. You're in Byron as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
You don't really know what you're doing, but you're telling your story on the streets while you're strumming your guitar. A year later, your first single, Dance Monkey, hits it really big and breaks the record of previously held by Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You.
Really?
Spending 10 weeks at the top of the ARIA charts as a female artist.
Where can she go from here? She's done it all. She's played the AFL Grand Final. She's breaking records on the ARIA charts all within a year.
She's sold out a tour in Australia.
Yeah, imagine what she's going to be doing in the next 5 years or so.
Watch this space because seriously, she's 19.
She's going to be too big to be going to Byron Bay.
Oh, come on. Love a good gig in Byron, though.
Yeah, more music news, Danes. Kanye West, Jesus is King album that was supposed to be released earlier this month, has a new release date, 25th of October.
Why does he keep pushing it back? What's the go?
He's a perfectionist, I think. He wants to make sure it's right, but...
But then shouldn't you not say the release date until you've decided the final release date?
Yeah, but think about all the pressure from people trying to force him to drop the album when he hasn't got it perfect yet. You sort of just want to keep the people happy, but like if your product isn't as good as you think it could be.
And it's going to be out in the world forever then.
Yeah.
Cam and Danes.
The catch-up.
On Next.
News.
On the entertainment news, the Kardashians have taken the drama to Turks and Caicos Island with them on their girls' trip this summer. The two are seen clashing in the British resort with their friends in a teaser trailer from the coming episode of their Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So this is like an issue that, you know, I don't know, brothers and sisters kind of like fight everywhere they go, and these girls, they're just, you know, holiday. So
what can you see in the video? What are they doing?
So they're just like drinking champagne and like, you know, squeezing the bottle into each other's mouth, like drink. And it was just so hilarious to see like how spoiled they are.
Oh, so they've got a bit of influence in them and they've started to bicker, have they?
Yeah, yeah. With all their friends and the other girls and stuff like that. So just like having a fight, you know, for no reason.
As unrelatable as, you know, their world might be to us, in a way, there is so much relatability about like that sibling behavior, right?
Well, it has to be relatable because it's reality TV. Yeah.
And they fight like this. At the end of the day, they'll still be together, happy, you know, and they move on. You know, that's just basically their life.
I wonder how much of that is reality, and how many producers are standing behind them, going, "Okay, Chloe, you know how you hate your sister? Just really emphasize that in this scene.
Bring it out. Isn't that the good direction of a reality TV director?
Well, it's not reality TV.
Well, it may seem like it because, you know, how do you actually follow these two individuals that are so treated like special people and then just, you know, have to bring something good out of them?
Natal's on my side.
He doesn't think it's relatable at all. Cam and Danes.
The catch up.
The catch up.
The catch up.
Not catch up.
Our next guest is stand-up comedian from Venezuela who now calls Australia home, Ivan Aristegueta. And he actually has a show coming out called The Fourth Floor that's going to be hitting Sydney on the 26th of this month. Hey, Ivan, I have a question for you, right? Because how do you find doing comedy in English if it is in your second language?
I think comedy is universal. I think the rule of creative intention and release intention doesn't change in languages or cultures. The one big difference is not the language, it's the values of the culture that you're doing comedy to and the local references. And I think values-wise with Australia, it's pretty easy. Like, I think that Latinos and Australians get along really well because there's a similarity in values. So it's just working on getting a grasp on the language, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
At all.
Ivan, I liked what you said about comedy releasing tension, and there are a lot of tense topics in our society today. Is there anywhere where you won't go with comedy? Like, what are your limits?
I won't go into politics because it's not my strength. I don't read the newspaper. A way of releasing tension is just saying something that people are afraid to say and people are holding in their chest. I talk about relationships. I talk about from your relationship with your new country, which is as an immigrant, Australia, my relationship with my old country, which is Venezuela, where I come from, relationships with my family, with my ex-wife, with people I'm dating. So that's
fairly tense topics. But you also do talk about turning 40 in this show, Fourth Floor. What made you think that this was a great platform to launch a show out of, is turning 40?
Because, well, every year I talk about what I'm going through, and I think last year my big thing for me was turning 40. I finally moved to a place that I bought. This age is like I'm finally stable, and I'm finally in control of my life, and I was waiting for this for so long. So I'm not afraid of being older. I'm just like celebrating getting older. Shows before that, in Matador, I was dating a lady who was a vegetarian, and I grew up in a family who loves bullfighting, so I had that contrast in my life. And I also didn't support bullfighting, and I don't. And but my relationship with my grandpa and my family created because of bullfighting, and it was that conflict inside of me. It was about getting divorced and the similarities between the divorce and immigration. By the way, this is all funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, it actually sounds interesting.
My job as a comedian is to explain the things that I'm going through in a funny way.
We're chatting to Ivan Aristegueta, who's performing his show, The Fourth Floor, in Sydney on the 26th of October. Ivan, you talked about having some stability in your life and going through different things. Something interesting I learned about you is that you used to be a beer brewer. How does beer brewer become a comedian? What's the
very easy. Beer is part of the job. It's always part of the job.
True. Ivan, I have a final question for you. Cam and I are a new show to radio, and we are going to be taking a road trip to get to know one another. You spoke about tensions earlier. Do you have one tip for us to be able to release tensions when they rise in a car on this road trip?
I love road trips. So you never travel together?
No. And one thing I should mention as well is that Dana loves my jokes.
I think his jokes are dad jokes, and, you know, they can get out of the car.
Good. So it's about decision making.
Okay.
So I think the problem in road trips is it's about decision making, and when one person gets very annoying because the other person doesn't know what to decide and gets all anxious, or this option or that option, what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? What are we going to stop? Share leadership. Like, one day someone takes, gets to make decisions, and the other day the other one gets to make decisions.
So we have to take it in turns.
Yeah, and be comfortable with farting inside the car.
Oh, yeah, that's a real way to break the ice.
It absolutely is. Thank you so much for joining us, Ivan.
Dana, even though Ivan told you you could, don't be farting in the car.
No, you left the studio earlier this morning. I thought you left so that you could fart.
No, absolutely
not. It's not okay with me.
If you want to check out Ivan Aristeguieta's show, The Fourth Floor, it's happening at the Comedy Store in Moore Park on the 26th of October.
Cam and Danes.
The Catch-Up.
And Cam, yesterday I had a bit of a bone to pick with you because you said something along the lines of this. We went down to get a coffee, as we do every day.
Yep.
You refused to use a keep cup because you said this.
Danes, they've already made the cup.
That was your excuse.
Oh, someone else is going to use it, aren't they? Well, it's not necessarily that I refuse to use a keep cup. It's just that I don't have one. And it's much easier for me to use a takeaway cup. But yesterday when we went to get a coffee, I didn't use a takeaway cup.
All right, so you've done it once.
Okay.
You've done it once, and I'm going to help you champion this cause because we are all about the environment here on Next. So,
Captain Planet, he's our hero.
I'm going to get you your very own keep cup.
Oh,
but
you shouldn't have.
In the industry, there are a couple of people in the industry who like to elevate their sense of self-importance. And they actually have gold microphones.
Okay.
And, you know, that makes them feel really important on air and loved and, like, they really, you know, they want to use that microphone. They want to be on air, like, talking to the people.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe it might be a great opportunity for you to use a keep cup. So I've got a gift here for you. And
you
as you open it, I would like you to describe what it is. So hopefully...
Oh, I didn't even see that there.
Here is a gift that I've got for you. And
okay.
It is...
It is gold. It's a keep cup, a very sticky keep cup because it's painted in gold. And it's got Cam's Keep Cup written on it. Very
it
thoughtful
does.
Of you, Danes.
And what I'm going to be doing is checking up on you, making sure that you are using your gold Keep Cup.
One question.
Over the next 2 weeks.
Is the paint non-toxic?
Yes.
You
we'll
sure
go
about
with
that?
Yes.
Because I don't want to die from trying to save the planet.
But keep an eye out on our Instagram because we're going to have a Cam's Keep Cup cam, making sure that you're using it and helping out the environment.
Do I have to use it every time I get a coffee? Like, if I sit down to have a coffee, can I use a mug or do I have to
It just cannot be a takeaway cup.
Okay. All right. I'm happy to do that.
What, okay.
Will the paint come off if I wash it? Like, I've got so
no.
many questions about this cup.
I checked that. I checked that.
But we'll you didn't check if it was non-toxic.
No, not important to me. It's that you're using a keep cup.
Cam and Danes.
The Catch-Up.
On Next.
Danes, tomorrow you told me you have some sports questions you want answered.
Yes, I'm not very savvy with sports, so I'm going to fire some heavy ones at you and see if you can try your hand at helping me out.
Any question you like, ask me and I'll be able to answer it for you.
Yeah, do check us out on afters.radio to check out Cam's Gold Keep Cup and throw in your suggestions for our playlist because we're hitting the road on
sure
a get-to-know you road
Thanks
trip.
Thanks for joining us today. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's producer Chris here. For more Cam and Danes, head to next.aftrs.edu.au, next.afters on Facebook, and Afters Radio on the gram.